It's Tuesday, the 7th of December, and it's time to get your grin on with the Greencast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Gauze.
Oh.
And Prince.
The way my mic always stops working right when I go to say hello is what really bothers me, because it was working right before that, but the second I went to say hello, it didn't pick me up twice.
It's a conspiracy against you, I'm sure.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. Everyone knows my mic was working before this, right? Like, this isn't me. This is crazy. Sorry.
Well, we've got some stuff to talk about this week with what I feel is an interesting main topic, but we'll start as we often do. What's everyone been playing this past week? Gauze?
I feel like I didn't really put much time in any games this week, any considerable time. Like, I played a bit of the this and that, but I thought I would mention that I kept seeing you play Guild Wars 2, and I decided to revisit it today.
Oh, cool.
And played for a little bit so far, but... Like, I didn't play it in so long that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what my goals are.
I'd quite like Guild Wars 2 has their journal quest system is pretty straightforward. There are some MMOs where it's just, here's a list of tasks and go on. Guild Wars at least has them in some sort of order. There's your origin, I think it's called. It's like your race story, whichever race you're playing as, and then you go on to the others from there, and they all canonically take place one after the other. Star Trek Online is awful because you can do stuff that's really late in the game. Very early on, it's easy to get mixed up and get on the wrong quest line. Did you enjoy going back to it?
A little bit, like some familiar stuff. When I first played it, I was playing with my brother, and we played for a long, long time, doing everything. And I don't know, I just don't feel like playing on my own. Like, I don't know what my goals are for the game.
Right.
And, like, with the journal stuff, like, I'm not really into this story quest kind of stuff in MMOs. I'm more like, I just want to roam around the world and do activities there.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't know, like, maybe next week I'll find something to do. I mean, by next week, maybe I'll have something interesting to say, but for now it's, like, there's so much stuff, and I don't know which way to go.
Yeah, there is a lot. I've put a lot of hours into it over the last couple of weeks, and I barely finished the character or the race origin story line and gone on to the next storyline. When I first started, I jumped straight into the Path of Fire expansion because I wanted that raptor mount so I could jump everywhere.
Right, and, right. You told that story.
Yeah. So, listener, if you haven't heard that story, go back a couple of podcasts and find it. Prince, what about you?
I've had a fun week, actually. I've played one real game, like one real official video game, and two really good fan games. Resident Evil Atome Edition, which is a Resident Evil 4 Atome Edition, which is a Resident Evil 4 dating sim. And it's beautiful. I love it. I really love Leon Kennedy, so like, this game's up my alley, like, up the wazoo. You play as Ashley, and it fits in the world so perfectly, because it actually takes what you do in the game, like, eating whole fish raw and, like, breaking barrels all the time, and puts you in, like, her shoes watching this and being like, what the hell? But he's still hot. And then I've been playing Persona Zero, which is a, it's a Persona 3 parody fan game, and it's actually, like, excellently made. It is hilarious. It's so funny. It's so funny. And it's, both of those games are free to play because they're, like, fan games, which is super cool. So, like, people should check those out. And then the one real game I've been playing is Persona 3 Portable. I love Persona 3, but Portable is, like, really nice because you get to play the FemC route, and right now I'm dating all the boys. Oh my god, it's so fun. Oh.
Am I right in thinking that if you're a newcomer to Persona 3, that you should start with the male protagonist?
Yes, yes, you should, First of all, I feel like if you're new to Persona 3, you should start off with Persona 3 FES on the PS2, because that is, like, the best version. It has full character models. It's not a visual novel. The only issue people have with it is that you can't control your full party. You only control yourself and everyone else's AI. But I really like that because I feel like it's the only game that makes you feel like an actual leader because of that. Like, and you got to make up for your team's mistakes. You got to be the one prepared, because the AI is a little busted. But if you're actually good at the game, it doesn't matter. So many people complain about it. And so then Portable puts, like, the implementation of, like, direct party control. A lot of people love it. It's not better because of that. The only reason it would be kind of better is because you have that FemC route, because she's not in FES, unfortunately. But it's like, that's the only reason I play Portable is for her.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry, I went off. Oh my god. I love Persona.
That's fine. It's good to be passionate about things.
Yeah.
Myself, I've went back to Watch Dogs Legion. I stopped playing because I managed to get Wrench, the paid DLC character, killed in permadeath mode. Turns out that's a thing. So to get him back, I need to restart the game. But yeah, I've gone back to continue the storyline because I'm really far in the storyline. It's like I've got a handful of missions left, maybe. But losing Wrench at least meant has made me move on to other characters, like to try and pick the character best suited rather than the character I want to hear say the one-liners.
Oh.
But yeah, warning, if you buy the Bloodlines DLC, you can lose Wrench and, you know, Aiden, but whatever.
So crazy. I never knew there was, like, permadeath for, like, oh my god, that hurts.
It's optional permadeath. You can turn it off. I don't know if you can turn it off after you start the game. I think you can. But I decided to give myself the slightest bit of a challenge because,
oh, no.
As everyone knows, I don't like challenges. Yeah. But oh. It really took the wind out of my sails, losing Wrench. Other than that, I also played the closed beta for Dragon Ball The Breakers.
I want that game.
That game. For those of you unaware, Dragon Ball The Breakers is a 1v7 player asynchronous multiplayer game. So there's one person playing as this super powerful bad guy in the closed beta. It was Cell, the tall green guy. And he has to go around powering up, and once he's powered, well, while he's powering up, he can kill the seven quote-unquote survivors. And the other seven players have to construct this super time machine to escape. If Cell destroys the super time machine, in theory there are other ways to escape, but Cell can also destroy other parts of the map while he's going around. So you can't go to those sections. I didn't get to play as Cell, because I tried to queue up as they're called raiders, and was in a queue for 5 or 6 minutes. Decided I'm just gonna go back to being a survivor, and within 30 seconds I was back in a game. So lots of people queuing up to be the raiders, and it's pretty fun. Well, multiplayer games aren't usually my thing, but making this Dragon Ball themed, it kind of smoothed the edges for me, because I'm a fan of the franchise. And I was a bit annoyed at how few points you can get as a survivor, because if you're one of the first like four killed, you get 0 points, unless you manage to help revive another player, because they can be just knocked down and they can still crawl around, but they can also be knocked down and then killed. And you have a like 2 minute window to revive them. If you revive someone, you get points. If you don't, no points. If you gather all seven Dragon Balls, you get points. If you gather one Dragon Ball or anything up to seven to six, no, you don't get any points. So it's heavily angled towards the raider getting points and being able to level up and unlock stuff. I'm hoping they a couple of points for playing the match, rather than I've just sat in a queue for 5 minutes waiting for this match to start, and then waiting for everyone to ready up, and then I was wandering around and I was immediately killed by the raider getting the drop on me, and I get no points. Great. I'm in two minds about whether I'll play it when it's released. If it's free to play, it's certainly looking that way, because there's a lot of microtransactions. If it's free to play, then I'll definitely dip my toe in. If it's paid, I mean, Dead by Daylight, you have to buy it, and then there's loads of microtransactions, and it's a similar sort of game. I'm probably not going to drop a ton of money on it, like £10 maybe. It's not going to release for £10.
You know, I was worried I was misunderstanding, but to be honest, the whole time I was like, this sounds like Dead by Daylight, but it's Dragon Ball Z. And I didn't want to say that, because I was like, what if I'm so wrong from thinking that? But no, it's Dead by Daylight, but it's Dragon Ball. Like, that's... Yep. Wow.
Yep, exactly.
I kind of like that, but that's also, like, such a... What the heck? Whose idea was this?
It's being developed by Dimps.
Dimps. Okay.
They've done loads of the Dragon Ball fighting games.
That makes sense.
The survivors have equipment. Well, a grappling hook. You can pick up a dragon radar to help you find non-player character survivors. If you help them, you do not get any points. And there's a bazooka, and there's some kind of motorbike things. But they're police bikes, so whenever you're on it, it's going woo, woo, woo the whole time, so it alerts the killer where you are.
Oh my god.
If they're in range to hear it, of course. It's got lots of... I've watched my wife play a lot of hours of Dead by Daylight, and it's similar in tone, but there's a lot more for a survivor to do. It's not just find the thing, fix the thing, escape. There's more ways to survive than just hide in a closet and hope they don't search that particular closet.
Did you manage to play as the pig?
I did not, no.
Is the pig overpowered?
I don't know. You think so, because the pig has a power to disguise itself as objects, but all survivors can do that.
Oh,
you press a button and you turn into a random thing, either a barrel or a potted plant or something like that. So you best hope that the random thing fits in to what you're trying to look like, because if you're in an area that shouldn't have barrels and you turn into a barrel, then Cell flies over, it's like, I wonder if that barrel is, yes, it's a survivor. blast.
Wow. Funny. Oh, so that's really funny.
Sorry.
Oh.
I keep starting to speak when someone else is speaking. My bad.
Oh, I do the same. I accidentally cut people off, like, on the regular. I was just saying it was funny, though. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that it sounds a bit like Dead by Daylight crossed with Prop Hunt because of the transformation thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, it lasts about 20 seconds, maybe, and then it's got a minute cooldown or something.
I have some fun memories of Prop Hunt where I would turn into the toilet and stand in the living room and everyone would pass me by.
Too obvious.
They would look for the little stuff.
That was actually good. I forgot to mention, as a survivor, you can collect power-ups to, for a short time, become a hero like Goku or Piccolo or Vegeta, and you can fight is a loose term. You can defend yourself against Cell. If there's more than one of you and you're powered up, you can actually, that's how you beat the raider. You don't just have to escape in the super time machine. You can have a couple of you or all of you power up and then go after him, but you do have to collect enough power-ups to be able to power up, if that makes sense.
That sounds interesting, but a bit weird.
Yeah, it could have done with a actual tutorial instead of just here's a dozen tutorial messages kind of explaining what to do. But I've gone on about that for long enough. Let's talk about some terrible gaming companies. because Take-Two, the publisher, well, the parent company of Rockstar Games, the Grand Theft Auto developer, and 2K Interactive, and, you know, a load of people, they've sent out a lot of cease and desists to protect their trademarks, because, you know, the company is called Take-Two, so they told the game It Takes Two to stop trying to copyright the name because it's too similar to Take-Two. And there's they've also hit out at companies that use Rockstar, Social Club, Mafia, Civilization.
Oh, geez. The mob is going down.
Civilization's going down. There's a axe throwing company in Florida called Rockstar Axe Throwing that's trying to oppose the trademark grab. So they're going to court over this.
Wow. I feel like this is a weird thing, but I think, oddly enough, I don't know about It Takes Two or if they're going to fight or not. I don't know if they would be able to fight it, is the thing with them. But I feel like with Rockstar axe throwing, with the way American law works, is they might actually get away with it just because they're not putting out, like, media and stuff. Like, they're their own thing. Like, it might actually fall into, no, you can't get trademarked. Because, like, they're not a media source. They're not a form. Like, they're not video games. They're not anything like that. So I'm thinking they might actually get away with it. Like, they're not get away with it. I think they're in the right. But I think the law will see that also, oddly enough. At least over here.
There's a brand of music books for live performances that have abandoned their trademark, Think Like a Rock Star.
That's crazy. See, that, so that goes back into, like, media once again. This is why I think the axe throwing, that's not media. I think they actually could get away with it, like I said. But music, it's going to be harder, but I think it's ridiculous that there's a trademark on it that hard. Like, rock, oh my god. Wow. That's horrible.
Well, people on social media have been asking, are they going to go after the song? It Takes Two, baby.
Because I never heard that.
Because, well, that's been around for longer than Take Two.
How about all the video game titles that have two in them? All the sequels will have to change their names.
They're going to go after Hollywood. You have to go from Take One to Take Three. You can't use Take Two. they're not the first company to protect their trademarks, I don't know, viciously. There's a long history of video game companies trademarking, you know, normal words. King trademarked Crush and Candy, and yes, it just doesn't look good.
Yeah, I heard about some of those, I think. I mean, it's not a common word, but I think DC has superhero trademark.
Nope, that is DC and Marvel. They co-trademarked that.
Oh.
My God.
Yeah.
And I think Games Workshop had some. Maybe Space Marine or something.
I think you're right, yeah.
But, yeah, like, Space Marine, it doesn't really... It's not that unique to trademark it.
Well, the Trademarks Act of various countries kind of, if a company is benefiting from the name based on someone else's, you know, good name, like Rockstar Axe Throne Company is getting business because of Rockstar Games in Scotland, that's what the Trademarks Act is there to protect. But it's axe throwing. They're not think like a rock star. It's not think like a Rockstar Games.
They should just partner up and have axe throwing in the next GTA cross promotion.
They should just create a axe throwing video game.
Or just put axe throwing in every video game they make from now on.
Well, from one dodgy company to a dodgy person who was in a company, the vice president of Sony has been fired after allegedly appearing in a paedophile sting video. This person basically set up on the dating app Grindr to meet up with this, 64. Basically, this person set up on Grindr to meet with George
Acchioppo.
Yes, George Cacioppo, to meet up with a 15-year-old boy, and when he turned up, this person posted the video to YouTube, and Sony obviously caught wind of it and fired him, because there were accompanying messages and photos, and the guy turned up in a PS5 t-shirt.
Oh, God.
Don't advertise your job when you go to do something illegal. Your company is going to find out. They're not going to be happy.
Maybe he just had one and was proud of it and didn't work for the company. He looks like just a guy, to be honest.
Well, there's
like, he's in a PS5 shirt.
There's a photo of a screenshot of his LinkedIn account, and yeah, that's very clearly the same person.
I know. I see like tens of those every day on the street.
Then no, that's you need to watch yourself.
Yeah, that the scariest thing is that he's just a guy. Like, they're always just guys. Ooh, well, not all, not just guys. I mean, like people in general. Bad people look like people at the end of the day. Like, we all look like people.
Yeah, he looks like your barber. Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't peg him for like such a high up position at like Sony, to be honest.
Yeah, he's the senior vice president at Sony Interactive Entertainment. Well, former.
Yeah. Oh.
The story that I linked to was on CNET.com, and they did reach out to him via LinkedIn, but received no reply.
I saw that, and I like had to stop myself from laughing. It's not funny. It's like, it's terrible, because it's a terrible situation. Like, this guy is a... Am I allowed to say pedophile on here? Oh my god.
Yes.
Okay, well, this guy's a pedophile. We're an adult-rated
podcast.
Well, yeah, I know, but, like, I still decided to ask, apparently. It's not a funny situation. It's very horrible. Like, this is a pedophile. But it's, like, it's a little funny in the sense that, like, A, holy shit. Who turns up in a PS5 shirt to, like, if you're the... Like, such a high-up position. What? Like, it's so... Oh, my God. Like, it's so ridiculous that I find it funny in an odd way, even though it's, like, horrible. I shouldn't laugh.
No, it's... I completely understand this. It's either laugh or cry, and...
It's yeah. Just
so ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
But away from the... horribleness, but staying with PlayStation. PlayStation
still horrible.
PlayStation have plans to take on Xbox Game Pass. Apparently, according to Bloomberg, codenamed Spartacus is going to allow PlayStation owners to pay a monthly fee to access a catalog of modern and classic games. Basically, it boils down to there's going to be the PlayStation Plus, there's going to be PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now, and there's going to be PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Now, and something extra. There's going to be three tiers, and the highest tier will allow you to stream and download older games, so probably PlayStation 2. I forgot to say, the third tier, according to this, would add extended demos, game streaming, and a library of classic PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games.
Oh.
This hasn't been confirmed by Sony yet. It's just something that Bloomberg have read and decided to report on. Like, official documents. It's not like a Twitter post that they saw.
I had PlayStation Now, I want to say like a year ago. I bought that like deal they had where it was only, I want to say, $40 to $50 for a whole year, which is why I went for it. And I feel like they're going to change it a bit, obviously, because they have this whole plan going on. But back when I had it, it was PS2 through PS4 games, like PS3 games included. Some of which downloadable, some of which not, all streamable. So it kind of concerns me, admittedly, that they're separating the tiers like that. They're suddenly like, oh, you could play like newer PlayStation games on this. And now if you want to hit the classics, that PlayStation library, you got to pay extra money. You got to pay third tier. And also, I'm kind of like, oh, like, I feel like this is Sony's response, unfortunately, to the rise in piracy, I guess, of older games that you can't buy nowadays. So it's like, is it even piracy? like, this is Sony's response to it. And I don't think it's that good of a response. As someone who bought this, who used to buy this. Sorry. I had opinions.
How was the connection on it? Because I'd heard from a couple of people that it was up and down. It wasn't really a stable 100% at the time.
See, it's actually interesting. I'm where I'm at right now is where I used to be actually when I had when I had PlayStation Now. So my internet's good here, but I never had any issues because I have really good internet here. I have download speeds of like 90. It's crazy. So I never had an issue with it. But when I did finally move, even like when I moved, like when I was at somewhere that had 30 like MBPs for speeds and stuff like that, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. You have to rely on downloads. That's actually why I stopped buying it. Is it sucks if you don't have insanely good internet.
I used to have PlayStation Plus because I used the PlayStation 4. I didn't use it for online games. I just liked to keep the PlayStation Plus games that you got every month. And then they said, okay, well, now we're not doing PlayStation 3 games anymore, and now we're not doing PlayStation Vita games anymore. It's like, well, then why are you increasing the price?
Oh, they increased the price. See, I never got it anyways because I like to own my game. That's why, like, the PlayStation Now is an experiment, to be honest, and because it was cheap. But I like to personally own my games. I'm really, like, weird about it. So I always kind of hated PlayStation Plus as a thing. But that's even worse that they're, like, charging more for it now. What the hell?
Yeah, we don't know any prices now, but I thought that our main topic could be some suggestions for Sony. What do they have to do? What do they have to offer to beat the Game Pass? Is it even possible? Because, Game Pass technically has two tiers. It has Game Pass and Ultimate Game Pass, which gives you access to PC games as well as Xbox games.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I never had I had an Xbox way back in the day original, but I've never had a modern one. I heard Game Pass is bad, like in a good way, though, like badass. Like, oh my god, the stuff they have on it. Like, I always hear about it, and I heard that it's cheap, and I'm like, damn. I want that.
Well, that's something that's Microsoft are very proud of is the fact that any Microsoft published game is free day one on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And it's not one of the games that will be taken off because, Ubisoft when they put on, not Ubisoft, they don't put any on, Bandai Namco. When they put on a game on Game Pass, it's only there for a limited time, and then it comes off and they put something else on. But Microsoft games are on there forever and ever. Gauz, have you ever had a PlayStation Plus or Game Pass?
I didn't have PlayStation. I think I did the free trial of PlayStation Plus because there was some beta that I needed to play online, but that's all. I think I had PlayStation Now. Wait, no, that was also a trial. So yeah, only free trials. I never bought anything.
Well, is there anything that Sony could have done that would have made you buy it?
If they let me play some classic games, I guess, that aren't really on modern consoles.
So this theoretical third tier would probably appeal to you with the classic PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games.
Yeah, but I would also like... I would prefer to have the games downloaded than stream them.
Right. Yeah, that's entirely fair. This is just a shame that Sony stopped caring about the Vita, like, the day after it was released, because otherwise...
Yeah, about the Vita, like, I was going to say, is this not part of it? Like, are they just ignoring the Vita outright? Because they included the PSP.
I imagine they're ignoring it because of the touchscreen controls. the Vita's got the front and back touchscreens, and the DualSense, I believe, only has a touch front. So yeah. that makes some of the games difficult to translate. But I also don't know if the PlayStation 5 is compatible with the Vita in the same way that you could stream PlayStation 4 games to the Vita.
That's upsetting. I mean, I expected this because Sony is like never cared about the Vita, like you said. But God, I love the Vita. It's so good. Ugh. Like the only handheld console. I guess I like the 3DS a lot, to be honest. But I like the Vita more than the 3DS. Like the Vita is so nice. It is my favorite handheld console. I love it.
I've never met anyone who has played on a Vita and said this is a bad console.
Exactly.
And I made sure to say it played on a Vita because I knew that Gauze would say it's a bad console.
No, I was going to ask, what is Vita? But I stopped myself. Stopped myself. So I want to be praised.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
I'll insert thunderous applause in the edit. I'm not going to do that. So, right, the Game Pass lets you play online games, as does PlayStation Plus, and gives you access to hundreds of games, including everything that Microsoft publish on the same day it's released. PlayStation Now would not, according to the information we have, allow you, it wouldn't give you access to PlayStation published games on the same day. It would give you access to a catalog of PlayStation 4 and eventually, apparently, PlayStation 5 games. But is this third tier enough to win people over? Because as Microsoft recently basically ended the backwards compatibility program, they've milked it for all it's worth. Well, they've gotten all of the games out of it that they technically can, allegedly, and so that there won't be any more. If there are any Xbox or 360 games that you want to play on your Xbox One or Xbox Series console, then tough. Is there going to be enough of a selection of quote-unquote classic PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games? Is it going to win people over?
That's such a hard one. I see, because I'm at such a mix on this, because this is something they were already kind of doing that they're now putting a paywall on to a certain extent, because like I said, PS2 and PS3 games were on PlayStation Now. They never had that good of a catalog, though, I will say that. Like, I mean, PS3 games, they have a great catalog on, actually, like, shut up on that one. But, like, PS2 games, I could think of maybe, like, 5 of them I actually wanted to play that they already had. So I can't see the catalog getting much better. I can't see the addition of PS1 games. It'd be like, I can see a lot of PS1 games, actually. I think they will go for PS1 games. But, like, PS2 games and stuff, I can't see them having that good of a catalog, oddly enough. I might be wrong. I might totally be wrong. I'm interested to see where they go with PSP games, though, because I never even thought about that, like, before, if I'm honest.
Well, the PSP itself is capable of running PS1 games. Mm-hmm. If you hack your PSP, I mean, you shouldn't, because it's just hack it. It's an old console. Hack it.
It's obsolete as hell at this point.
You can create e-boots of PS1 games and play them on there. The PSP only has one analog stick. Not that it matters, because most PS1 games were just the D-pad anyway.
play PS1 games on my phone right now.
Mm-hmm. You can play PS2 games on your phone right now. I mean, what?
You shouldn't do that.
Oh, no, never. But you can't. Like, I think it's an impressive feat of technology, and we shouldn't shy away from talking about it in that sense. Like, that's impressive as hell.
I mean, technically, you could hack your Vita to play to load up the PSP operating system and play a PS1 game that way.
Yeah.
It is technically possible.
When you say hack, you don't mean like with a hatchet, right? Because it's a shit console.
No!
You promised.
I mean, what's Vita? Ah, shit! I'm sorry, it's a bad habit. I'm trying to quit.
It's harder to quit than crack.
It is. Although I never did crack.
You shouldn't. No, nobody should.
Oh my gosh.
You mean crack like crack your game so you can play it.
Brought it back around.
Oh my god, full circle. We made it.
There's so many subreddits and YouTube videos, and just it's easy to hack most consoles these days.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's interesting, though. Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
No, continue.
Oh, I was gonna, to be honest, I was recently watching, like, a bunch of videos. Sometimes when I'm really stressed, I watch, like, videos of taking things apart, like VCRs and stuff apart to de-stress. But I ended up watching a whole series of videos on how they hacked the original PS1 consoles. it's so interesting to see how they would do it back in the 90s. Like, they had chips. Like, it was just so weird to me. Like, wow. Like, I never thought about piracy for the PS1 era until then. But wow. Like, I mean, not to support piracy, but that was kind of cool.
When I was a teenager, I actually, my uncle's friend gave me, well, I don't know if my uncle paid him, but I got a PS1 chip from my uncle's friend. And since my uncle was in Holland and I was just there for a holiday, I didn't have my PlayStation, so when I got back home, I opened up my PlayStation and I was looking at it, trying to work out how to solder this thing on, and just gave up and never did it.
Oh my god.
I had no idea how to solder anything.
That's so funny. That's like the true anti-piracy method right there, though.
Make it too complicated.
I mean, it's so easy nowadays. Like, it's just so easy nowadays. Like, not going into the details of how to do it for obvious reasons. Back then, you had to actually, like, solder stuff and do things. Oh my god, you know? Like, you actually had to get your console and, like, modify it. Instead of, like, nowadays, you go on a PC and you go on the internet and they have everything. PS1 games run in browser. It's amazing. Does it even count as piracy if it runs in browser? I'm like, this is Flash.
If you're playing it on archive.org, then I don't know. Because, like, Sony can see archive.org. It's not a hidden website. They can just search if their games are on there and get them taken down. Well, if they're not having them taken down, then, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think what part of it is piracy is really funky, but from what I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, if a game isn't, or not a game necessarily, if it's a media, whatever you're pirating can't be bought through, like, true official, like, means, like, they don't sell this new anymore, you can only buy secondhand copies, it's technically, like, kind of fair game. And of course, that's hard, because, you know, a lot of things get resold and stuff, but I think for, like, truly impossible things to buy officially, it's fair game.
I don't think there's an official a stance on piracy other than it's bad. My personal stance on it is if I cannot give money to a publisher for this game in any way, then they're literally not losing out if I pirate something.
Yeah, that's a pretty good stance. To be honest, my stance has always just been, if the company is, like, really, really shitty, like, I cannot support them. Or if the musician, like, for everything, if the person who's making this involved is, like, someone I genuinely do not want my money going towards, but maybe I do want that product, then I don't care, because I don't care because it's a shitty person. Other than that, I try my best to give the money where it's supposed to go. And then if it's like I said, old things, I don't even give a fuck. They're not getting money off of me. Like, PS2, like, who's getting that except for someone on eBay? Like, so screw that guy on eBay. Sorry.
I agree. If I wanted to play Super Mario World, then I could buy a Switch and a subscription to Switch Online and play it. And if I were to pirate it, that would personally, in my eyes, be wrong. That would be a big, because I have a legitimate way to play Super Mario World. But if I want to play Home Alone 2 from the SNES, there's no legitimate way for me to play that. So, but piracy.
Not that any of us advocate piracy.
I think they should just put you in jail for wanting to play that game.
But that's I use that as my go-to example, because who's going to want to remaster Home Alone 2?
They should just make a modern Home Alone game.
I mean, they've recently made a new Home Alone movie, so I'm surprised they haven't.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it with where Macaulay Culkin is just like, he's an asshole and no one likes him, so he's home alone?
I don't think he's in it.
We got some Macaulay Culkin opinions. Oh my god.
Oh, I think he's I was referring to his character from Home Alone. I think he's a terrific guy, and I hope nothing bad happens to him.
To be fair, that kid is like, what? How old is Kevin McAllister? Like 10? I don't know how old kids are. I always just guess 10 when I see a kid.
I believe he is 10 in the first movie.
Oh, heck yeah! Oh, I'm winning.
Well, he would be like 50 in modern one, right?
It wasn't that long.
No, he's only like 30-something, isn't he?
If he was 10 in 1990.
He's like 38?
I don't have my calculator.
Break out your abacus, then.
I don't have that either.
Why
it
not?
It was sold.
Oh, to so buy I for the calculator.
Yes, exactly. But now I can't find my calculator, so that was... That worked out.
Oh, he's 41.
Great. Is that the actor's 41 or Kevin McAllister?
Oh, the actor's yeah, you know, I searched up how old is Kevin McAllister, which I think is the funniest thing about that. But it gave me Macaulay Culkin's age and him.
I mean, technically...
Sorry.
Technically, it's probably correct.
I have no clue. I've never even watched Home Alone, like, all the way through. I watched parts of it, I think. Or the second one. I think there's, like, a homeless lady with birds at one point or some crazy crap.
Yeah, that's
I don't
the second
remember.
One.
Oh, so I've watched some of the second one, but I've never seen Home Alone.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Gauze and Prince.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.